needed right now. Let's give Jesus away today. Amen. And once you've done that, you may be seated. So good to see everyone today. God bless you richly is my prayer. Amen. And I'm looking forward to releasing the burden that God has given me today. Our daddy, he's talking all the time. The question is, again, is our ear tuned in to hear what the Spirit is saying? Because he's so into his children. He wants us to know that he is our provision, he's our protector, he's our everything. Amen. And the last time I was up here a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about, amen, the need to be at a higher place of thinking than where we are presently. Would you agree that's needed right now? That where I am, I'm thankful that God has brought me to that place. But there's a higher place. And it's interesting enough that all through Scripture, we see this over and again. It's just a cycle where we come to realize where I'm at, I need some help because the world around us closes in on us. Things in our lives, circumstances, situations, stuff closes in on us. And David got to a place where, amen, the enemy had encamped around him, and he didn't know what to do. And he says, Lord, only you can take me to the rock that's higher than I. And he was really alluding to a place, I don't know what to do now. Only you know what to do. Is anybody there right now where you really don't know what to do? And if God don't help, you don't know what's going to happen, right? And so we found out that, you know, just like Israel during Gideon's time, and it's multiple times, amen, our strategy needs to change. Their strategy when the enemy had encamped around them was to go run and hide. How many has been running and hiding? And so hiding is not a good strategy. I'll pause for a minute so you can catch this. Our daddy, Adam, when he decided, amen, to leave God, when he didn't live up to his potential and his true identity, guilt came, shame came. And what did he do? What was his strategy? To hide. And so we need to change our strategy. As born again, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, believers in Jesus Christ, hiding is not a good strategy. And we found out that when we come to realize our strategy needs to change, then we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. And then we're able to address the thing that we fear the most. I need you. This is what I need today. I need you to know with all my heart, I need you to know that you don't have to be afraid. Some of you are saying, why do you need us to know that? Because you have a part of him I don't have. And I need Jesus. And I'm after him. I need you. I need you to get what you need from our daddy today. Because I need more of our daddy. And the kingdom has come. And it's within us. And for it to get where it's supposed to take over in our earth, we've got to let him in. We've got to let him in. Faith comes by hearing. And when you have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, know this, don't forget this, an experience comes with that. That experience includes boldness, hope, confidence, zeal. It gives you the unction that you need to arise and the enemy be scattered. Whatever it is that may be freaking you out, frustrating you, causing anxiety, and it's just beating you up, the way to get that dynamic away is when you arise. And the Lord has set it up to give us the kind of word from heaven today that doesn't come from Dwayne Lowe. It comes from our daddy. I'm here to confirm what he's already trying to tell you. And I really believe with all my heart today that something that I'm about to say is going to trigger the fact that you got, oh my God, that was God talking to me. Whether it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, something's about to be said that's going to trigger the fact that, oh, that was God all the time. I need you to know you don't have to be afraid. Amen. Because I need Jesus and need more of him than I have today. Our best days are before us. We are, and when I say that, I'm not pushing anything that God has planned into the future, and he's got wonderful things. But the future depends on the present moment we're in right now. My future depends on what I do in the moment. And he will not stop talking to me about getting in rhythm with him and in harmony with him and singing his song with him. He has something to say, and it's a beautiful song that you and I can get in unison with. And when we get in unity with what the Spirit is saying, blessings, anointing, supernatural experiences, God himself shows up. Amen? And so I ask you the question today. Amen? Anybody believe the Bible is important? Is it really? How important you believe the Bible is? I'm fixing to ask you another question. What if you're more important to Jesus than the Bible you carry? What if? Is that possible that you would be more important than the book that you call the Bible? Many ministries will be in pulpits today, and I've done it more than I want to talk about, but God has worked with it graciously. Graciously. Oftentimes, I posture myself to give a word that is supported with apologetics, homiletics, hermeneutics. And you can't be more arrogant than to posture yourself into a conversation with apologetics being the platform. Because the moment you choose to have a conversation based on apologetics, you position yourself to be the one right and the one that's listening is wrong. Are y'all catching this? And we do that in our marriages. And it doesn't work, does it, honey? She don't know what to do with me when we're having an argument. I said, I'm not arguing with you because I can't compete with it. And I'm thinking, man, I'm not arguing. I'm stating facts. And the Lord says, that's the problem, son. That's the problem. Because if we won't work in our relationships, amen, that are supposed to be tight, how's he going to work with people that don't know us and don't love us? It doesn't, does it? I don't have a point to prove today, y'all. All I have today to give is what Daddy has been giving me. And I need you to know you don't have to be afraid. That the thing that bothers you is there because he's ready to reveal himself to you. Amen. And I know he's going to let me get through with this. But his presence is in this room. Not because of me. He's in love with us. He's after us. And you don't have to be afraid. So what if you are more important to him than the Bible that we sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll make an idol out of it. And we'll take it to support some of our ideas that didn't come from heaven. How many have opened the Bible up because you needed to support your preference? You had an argument and you needed to prove yourself to be right and you needed the Bible to support that. And that's a posture that is arrogant. And it says, I'm right and you wrong and I got the book on you. God did intend for us to have 66 books that make up the Bible, and I thank God for that book, to use it as a weapon, amen, in our relationships. If you open that Bible up and you're using it because you need it to support some kind of idea that you have in your life, you missed the point. I want to read you something that verifies that you're more important than the Bible that you believe, amen, is the most important book in the world. And I'm not opposing that. I would agree. As a book, it's the most important book in the Bible. I use it every day. I think about it all the time. But I've come to realize that it's not about the book, the physical book. It's the letters that were written as the Holy Spirit moved on those that penned those words. And this is one of them, one of these scriptures. And keep in mind, when we address our fears, we get bold enough to claim what's ours. And our life begins to speak. Y'all got to catch this. Because that book called the Bible can sit on a bookshelf, on a coffee table. And as long as it's not being opened by someone that has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, it won't do you any good. It can become a weapon to divide and to bring death instead of hope. The letter kills, but the Spirit makes alive. And so in 2 Corinthians 3, it says it this way, Paul writing to young believers, he said, your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Paul was basically saying, we experience Jesus through you too. Everyone can read it and recognize our good works among you. In other words, connections are made because of the life that you're living that bring us together. People see us not separated or divided, but complete and whole. Because God sees you this important. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the results of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not in tables of stone, but on human hearts. You catch this today and you begin to experience what God is saying, and you begin to realize that the point of reference today is not the preacher, but the Spirit of the preacher, Jesus Christ himself. He is still the mediator between you and your true God-given identity. Your life in him is a letter to others around you. You are the most important part of God's plan if people are going to come to him. The only hope they got is to have the mediator, Christ Jesus. And it's not the book called the Bible. It's you. I need you to know you don't have to be afraid. That all the stuff going on in our world right now, the Lord is working with it. He does no evil. He's never been bad, not one day in history. He's always been good. But we have been given choice. And because we've been given choice, we've been given the ability to think. to reason. And we choose what source we're going to reason with, what information we're going to ingest. We choose that. And when we choose that, we show how powerful we are. We can bring darkness or we can bring light. Everyone in this room is that powerful. You determine the dynamics of where you are. God sets you up. Amen. Called you out of darkness into marvelous light so that you could be the light of the world. The enemy don't want you to believe anything that God says. That's why his first question, amen, to our daddy Adam was, did God say? And the reason that's an important question for you and I to consider today is because anything God speaks into my life, the enemy wants to come steal it, kill it, and destroy it. And the moment he can get me to doubt what God is speaking into my spirit, he becomes Lord in my life. And I am going to project the one that's Lord in my life. You can't serve both of them. You can only serve one or the other. And so the call is for us every day, choose today who you're going to serve. Make a decision. And so my choice depends on what I meditate on, what I think about, what I consider, amen, going on in the world around me and in my life and my family. The way I think determines, amen, what's about to take place. As a man or woman thinks in their heart, so are they. And there's a lot of thoughts to consider, aren't they? There's a lot of voices to hear. There's a lot of loud voices going on right now. But there is a still small voice. If you will slow down, you have the anointed discipline and authority given by God to pause and move to that secret place. That place that God has reserved just for you and him. And any moment of any part of the day, you can pause and go there and you can get a download. And when you get it, there's an experience that's life-changing. It pushes back all doubt. It pushes back all fear. It pushes back everything that makes you concerned about what's going on in our world and lets you know, amen, everything's okay. He's still in charge. He don't take Rolaids. He don't get upset. He don't get heartburn. He's fully capable of finishing what he started, but he's waiting on us to agree with him. He's waiting on us to hear him speak today. Come follow me and I'll make you. And every one of you can hear him say that today. If you hadn't heard him say, come follow me and I will make you, you can hear that before you leave today. And you will know it's not me saying it. God believes in you and the reason you exist. Remember this. Grace is God's gift to you and I so that he can finish what he started in us. It's not our get out of jail card for free. Amen. God is giving mercy and grace today because he has one objective, to finish what he started in you. And so Adam, he left God. And the idea that Adam fell is the way we like to project it. But Adam made a decision one day to leave God. He decided one day that I can do this on my own. But he got coached into it with a question. And we get coached into kind of, you know, like, okay, I got this, Lord. You don't have to worry about it. I'll let you know if I need you. Everybody ever done that before? Not out loud, but our actions speak louder than our words, right? We'd never say that out loud, would we? But we'll act out the very thing that we say we don't believe. But we do believe it because we consider the questions that are coming in waves, the voices that are speaking, the thoughts, the media, our world, we consider it. And the day that Adam did that by being coached by the enemy with a question, did God say? Adam said, oh, well, you know, hey, I can become wise. I can figure this out. I can do it. And so he leaves God, and the moment he falls short of the identity that God had given him, shame happens. Guilt comes. And when God comes through the garden talking, wanting to have fellowship with the one that he's in love with, Adam runs and hides. And God doesn't leave Adam in his lost place. He goes after him. Isn't that awesome? I hope this helps somebody here today. God goes after Adam while Adam is hiding, and God finds him like God couldn't find him. Have you ever done things that you wish you hadn't have done, but you were trying to hide from God at the same time? And God, it's not that he's okay with it, but he's okay with that. It's a good way to learn that you can't make it without him. It's a good object lesson for us to get the revelation that we need God in our life. And so God finds Adam, and he starts right out of the chute. Who told you this? Because you can't live up to your identity as long as there's still guilt hanging around. You can't live up to your true identity as long as you're still ashamed of something. And you're still being beat up with these bombarding thoughts of the enemy. He talks like that. Oh, you guilty. You messed up. You're not worthy. You can't lift your hands to the Lord. You can't really worship today, not after what you said and what you did, what you was a part of. Anybody ever heard that? If you had those thoughts, you're hearing voices, by the way. And you need an eternal psychiatrist named Jesus. Amen. Is that okay? Because he can help you get over it. Because he will say something to you that will totally shift this thing back to where it belongs and help you address the problem. So God, he don't send Adam away. This is so important for you to get. No. God leads Adam out of the garden on a journey back to who he really is. And we're still on that journey today, coming into our God-given identity. And I want to say it one more time as we move forward. You don't have to be afraid. Amen. So what is the problem here? I mean, you know, we like to blame the devil, right, to be the problem. Isn't it interesting that in our greatest fears that we have to deal with, we think that relationships are very hard to get, and that's the one big thing that God wants us to claim is relationships. Relationship with him first. And then our relationships get healed and get set free. Amen. You got some relationships you'd like to see a miracle in? When it starts, where's the relationship change start at? With Tammy or with me? Ah, yeah, it starts with the guy in the mirror. Yeah, the girl in the mirror. Whichever one you are today. And there's only male and female, by the way. Don't be confused. God knows exactly how to make everybody. He's not confused. He's all in. And he can finish what he started. He's well able. This world's not going to win. He wins completely. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father. So I encourage you right now to know that relationships are what he wants us to claim, and it starts with him. He's after us. But my expectation, if it's the fact that, you know, something's wrong and it's Tammy that needs to change, so that our relationship get better, I have already bought into the lie that the enemy wants me to agree on. The moment I think that I'm, you know, if, as soon as she changes, I'm going to have a better day. Guess what? The day's going to get rougher. And it's going to get thick. But the moment I do about face and I change my strategy of getting her to change, and my strategy is, okay, Lord, here I am. Whatever you got to do to get me right, because I'm not seeing what you're seeing, obviously. I'm seeing what's wrong, and you see what's right. So help me to see what's right about me that I'm missing. And the change starts here in my life. Relationships, but not without him. The moment me and him get it together and my ear is tuned into what he's saying, all kinds of wonderful waves of his experiences, amen, that come from heaven into me. The kingdom of God happens right in here. All of a sudden, he starts writing his letter in my life. And instead of getting her to change, she'll start seeing something in me that's different, and it impacts her to become who she's designed to be. Or vice versa. She's changing to be like Jesus, and I get delivered from something because I see him at work in her life. You see the need? I need you to know you don't have to be afraid. We have to evaluate the strategy that we're engaged in and get delivered from the religious ideas that we've adopted that hold us captive. We've got to reposture ourselves in a spirit of humility and address the things that we fear the most. Amen. And so blaming the devil, he's not the problem. Well, why isn't the devil the problem? Because the devil was defeated 2,000 years ago. Jesus came to defeat the works of the devil. So what is the problem? What's missing? 1 John 3:7. I was hoping you'd ask. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. And the one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work, to take all the lies out and bring the truth in that will make us free. Would anybody agree with that statement? It's the truth that makes us free. How do we get the truth? We have an ear to hear what the Spirit's saying. No one who is born of God will continue in sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. What's the problem? Sin's not the problem. Sin is the fruit of our resisting the one to have his lordship in our life. The reason I keep dropping the ball is because there's parts of my way of thinking and my heart and my life that I haven't given him access to. And he's knocking on, he don't stop knocking. He's knocking on the door day and night. He will not quit. And he lets me breathe and move and have my being mercifully because he's convinced he can finish what he started in me. And so he keeps letting me know, son, you're not going to be a good guy ever. Ever. You're not capable. Without me, you can do nothing. But if you'll let me in and you'll take on the identity you left and you'll receive the identity I've called you, because identity is God's blueprint on who we are. And he's leading us back to that place to becoming, amen, Jesus Christ manifest. Somebody, well, be careful. No, no, no. Your identity, Galatians 4, is Christ. And when you're in him, all things are made new. Is anybody a member of the body of Christ here? How's Jesus going to finish what he started? Through his body. Every one of us are a member of the body. That's why this member can't say to the next member, I have no need of thee. I need you. I need you to know today that you don't have to be afraid. And I'm after relationship. I need Jesus. But for me to have everything that God wants me to have in him, you come into play and I have the right to claim what belongs to me. There's relationships here in this room right now that belong to me. There's relationships in this room that belong to you. And if we don't go after them, we miss the mark. And right now in our world, the spirit of this world has come to steal, kill, and destroy our connection. Our community is crying out. Suicide rate is out the roof. People need relationships. Why? Because they need God. And the enemy knows if he can get us apart and he can get us separated and he can get us secluded, amen, he has a better chance of taking us out. I need you to know you don't have to be afraid. Amen. I like the way God does this thing. To give you some confirmation, my son said, Dad, you say some pretty powerful things, but if you give me a illustration, I'll better understand it. And Daddy's been telling me that. Just tell him how you get out of the ditch, son. My pastor, Floyd Odom, one of my favorite people. And the reason is that because I could see Jesus in him. And it ministered to me. And I thought it was just, oh, man, I just want to hang out with my pastor. No, I was wanting to hang out with Jesus. And when he would talk, I could actually hear God speaking to me. And I was wowed by that. And so I remember at 17 years old, one of my identities as a teenager was a basketball player. That was one of my identities, false identities. The reason I know it's a false identity is because I can't do it right now. Oh, the little boy's still in there. He wants to jump up there and do its thing, you know. And so we had a basketball league, and we was playing at church league. And the church league was really more competitive than the school league. And, yeah, explain that one. And so Pastor Odom said, man, I'm not seeing a lot of Jesus in these basketball league right now. And so I'm going to pull y'all back, hold y'all off for a little while so we can work through this because we want to be a witness. We want to show Jesus Christ. We don't want to show the other side, the fallen nature. And so he's doing what he feels is necessary. And at the same time, he's teaching me something about humility and submitting one to the other, and my need to be under cover, under authority. Because our culture is not really all in on this authority thing. So anyway, okay, I'm 17, but I love to play basketball, right? So he ain't stopping us. Nobody. He didn't tell anybody they had to do anything. He just gave us counsel and said, this is my decision. Y'all can follow me as I follow Christ, or you don't have to. It's your call. So we are still playing basketball, you know, doing our thing, going down to the gym, but we wasn't part of the league. Well, one of the other teams in Jackson decided they wanted to recruit me to play with their team. And I was excited about that because I like to play basketball. And I was looking for any loophole I could find. Does anybody like loopholes? And so the team thought, well, we're not breaking any rules. Their team's not playing. We'll just recruit. And I like that idea. Yeah, I'm in. But the pastor from there remembered that, hey, their pastor kind of pulled them out of the league. So I better call and ask if it's okay. So the pastor called my pastor. And my pastor called me. And I'm his foster son now. You got to remember, keep him in. I'm really close to him. And I come and he's talking to me. He said, son, I hear they're trying to recruit you to play ball. I said, yeah. I'm thinking, ain't no problem. But he wants to talk about it. And he said, son, we're pretty close, aren't we? I said, oh, yeah, we're tight. So I need you to follow me right now. You don't have to now, but I need you to follow me. And he had a way of, when he needed me to see something, he had a way of putting it in front of me in love. And the way he did it was like, the love of God would just come out. And I could hear the Lord speaking, and I could see the Lord's hand at work. And it was like, yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. Because I wasn't seeing him. I was seeing the Lord reach down and say, I'm doing something in your life. Amen. And if you'll trust the one I put in your life, even though he's flawed too. I don't see any flaws. Even though he's flawed too, son, and he's still learning to walk with me and develop, I need you to trust me with him. I need you to know, son, you don't have to be afraid. You'll still get to be the little boy you want to be, and you still can play some basketball. I hope this is helping someone, because there's places that God wants you to go that the next person that you're sitting in behind or in front of or next to, he wants to speak to you through them, and he needs you and me to be subject one to the other. Our humility to submit one to the other gives him the kind of latitude, the kind of influence in our lives to work on us. Is change necessary? I'm going to give you a few things here that will help you, that if you're not a part of our freedom group, I encourage you to potentially consider this. But in our freedom group, our equip class, we observe 5 levels of change that are necessary to be effective as a believer, which is the reason everybody should participate, because we all want to be like our daddy, don't we? And the first level of change, which is the weakest level of change that needs to happen in all of us, is environment. Environment really means external circumstances that we perceive as obstacles to freedom. Environment change has a very limited effect without addressing our fears. And so, for me, when there's not order around here, I kind of get bothered. I like order. My wife likes clean. But without Jesus, amen, I can't reach the place where the environment allows for all kinds of circumstances and situations to happen, because I am attracted to order. I look through a lens that says everything needs a plan of action, a protocol in place. It needs to be coordination. Amen. And if it's not there, it's like my environment starts getting rough. Amen. Turbulence, challenges. And I get to laugh. I'll start telling her about it. I said, right now this is going on, but I'm laughing at myself. Ain't it funny? And she's like, I don't understand why you think like that, but okay, if it's funny to you, I'll laugh with you. And so she's getting to where when this need for everything to be spotless, which can only happen a few seconds, and then dust gets on it. She's getting to laughing at her, and her, she's talking to herself about, I'm not going to let it control me. I ain't none got. That's the weakest form of change that needs to happen, is the environment around us. Because most Christians can't deal with the social unrest, the pandemic that's going on, our world politics. Most Christians don't know what to do with it. They're freaking out. The environment is not conducive for them to be healthy. So we don't get healthy, amen, because of the environment around us. We get healthy when we step into the only environment that should exist, and that's Christ. It's in the kingdom. Remember, you cannot sin when you're in him. Unless you're born again, you cannot have a part of this. But when you step into the Spirit and the Spirit's one in lead, you can't miss the mark. But Pastor, I do miss the mark all the time. I'm aware of where you're going with your conversation. That's why there's grace and mercy, because he started something, he's going to finish it. And every time you fall, every time you stumble, amen, a righteous man or woman falls seven times, but they get up. Amen. We don't use grace as our free get out of jail card. We use it, we take advantage of it, because he's still working on me. And the more I become aware of that, I begin to know I don't have to be afraid. Second level of change is behavior, things that attach to our thoughts and feelings. Anybody have a low level of emotional intelligence you're dealing with? Are you considered a hothead? Do you blow at any moment? Your fuse is this long. I mean, and there's all kinds of levels of emotional challenges when it comes to behavior. Then thirdly, capabilities. Our limitations, lies that we believe about ourselves that act as a thermostat to tell us what we can't do. Namely, tests that tell us where our strengths are. Anybody taking an Enneagram? And you try to find out who you are. How are you going to find out who you are when you're bleeding all over the place and wounded? You'll never know who you are until you get healed. And so an Enneagram says I'm a one, but that's not who I am. But I know my weakness. I understand where my wounds are. I understand where I'm bleeding. And God can help me. And then I become subject to you, because I need to be accountable and transparent. I need Jesus. And you hold me accountable to hearing the voice of God and move in the right direction. That's why I need you to know today, you don't have to be afraid. We can show our scars. We can show our wounds. We can be real with one another. They're there because God is in the mix, and he is going to finish what he started. And then the fifth one, most important one, amen, is identity. I'm sorry. The fourth one is beliefs, things that we believe about God and ourselves. We definitely need God to help us on that. That's where our apologetic postures come from, and our relationships are broken because we don't have the right understanding of who we are, which leads us to identity, the most important level. Once you find out who you are, then all the other needs in your life to be changed begin to happen. I'm telling you, amen. Every one of us need to experience freedom. Every one of us need to be equipped, amen, how to walk in freedom, and not only experience it and be equipped to walk in it, but lead others through it. Don't be satisfied where you are. Don't keep hiding. Change your strategy. Get in the mix. Be a part of what God is doing. There's miracles in the making right now, and I'm not going to be able to get through with this message today. But I'm going to get through with what God wants me to get through with. Amen. So thankful for his presence right now. Anybody read about Nicodemus? Nicodemus had an identity. And everybody, if you've read about him, you understand his identity. He was a Pharisee. He was a ruler, and he was a teacher. And because we read through our unique lenses, the first thing we begin to think about Nicodemus is, because he came to Jesus by night, he was scared. And he didn't want his other brothers. And we just read all that in there because we got our own wounds we're dealing with. I would have been scared. But what if Nicodemus came to Jesus because of his profession? He was a professional, and he came to Jesus because at night there was less of a crowd there and he could get to him. I don't know. Maybe he wasn't scared. Maybe he came because, look, I'm a teacher and you're a teacher, and they ain't nobody can teach like you teach unless God be with them. And he come to find out, how you teach like that? And Jesus said, oh, you want to teach like me? Well, let me be as a matter of fact to you then. Unless you're born again, you ain't ever teaching like me. Is this helping somebody? Marvel not that I say to you, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Adam has to go back to the voice of God and take up where he left and walk with ears that can hear what the Spirit is saying. And you only say what you hear your father say. You only do what you see your father do. We're not trying to prove anything to God no more. You don't have to earn anything. You can't earn your way into his graces. He's given you grace regardless if you're good or bad. He don't. Matter of fact, if you go ahead and decide you're bad, you got a better chance than the one that thinks you're good. You don't understand, brother pastor, but I've gave so much money to the poor, and I've done this, and I've done that. He don't care about that neither. He's glad that you have a heart that's like his to give and to be a blessing, but he needs you to understand who you are. And he'll never get you and me to understand who we are as long as we're trying to be good without God. This is helping somebody. And so I remember a country boy by the name of Dwayne Lowe that came to Jesus by night. Come on, it's the same story. My identity was a business owner. I love to encourage people to know that they can trust our community and the businesses there. And so I built relationships, built a business. And so this same person named Dwayne Lowe that came to Jesus by night, and he was scared. Here, you do this. You know how to build businesses. You know how to build trust in your community. How do you do that? And Jesus said to Dwayne Lowe, oh, you want to build a business like I do? Oh, you want to build integrity and encourage the people in your community like I do? Well, by the way, as a matter of fact, you ain't ever going to be able to build a business like I do it, son, unless you're born again. Unless you trust me and you step back into the identity I've given you. And Jesus didn't stop with Nicodemus. He said, here you are, a teacher of the Jews, and you don't know this? Did y'all know that Nicodemus didn't come to Jesus because he needed to be saved? Did y'all know that he had no clue because he was a Jew? He naturally thought, I'm one of Abraham's children. Everything's good with me. I got it. I'm going to tell you, our Christian world thinks the same way. It's all good. I got it. I'm in. So he didn't come looking for salvation. He come as a professional saying, look, you teach on a level I want to learn how to teach on. You ain't never going to be a teacher unless this happens first. You can't be a part of this unless you're born again. And when I caught that, that's when I started seeing Daddy do what Daddy does best. Now, y'all, I'm closing this message because it's the right timing in the Spirit to do it, because there's your posture. The breath of God is in the room right now. But I remember a little boy at 7 that thought he was about to die. And the Spirit of God came when mom and dad began to pray for me, and they were praying fervently because they thought I was dying. I couldn't breathe. I told you a story. And while they were praying, the presence of God came on me. And I began to know that I'm going to be okay. It was in the middle of that trauma that all of a sudden I began to know I'm going to be okay. And by the time they got to the emergency room, I was okay. There was this 15-year-old boy that just lost his dad. He was taken from him. In just a moment, my pastor comes to the school, and I can see on his demeanor something ain't right. And my dad just was killed. 15 years old, in a time when I felt things were not fair, and I was busted up, and I felt alone. That's when I saw him on a level I couldn't see him any other way. And he met me there, and I experienced him in the thing that I feared. What am I going to do? And all of a sudden, he let me know what I could do and how he's going to be with me. in the thing that every child would fear. And they're beat up right now in their identity because they didn't have their dad or their mom or their parents. It was in the pain that he was able to say, here I am. Now, you need me, don't you? I'm not going to leave you like that spirit that's been lying to you. I'm not going to leave you alone. Wherever you make your bed, I'm going to be right there. But then you got 7 years old, you got 15. I'm talking about major trauma and major experience. And here we are for our community. Some of them don't know that they can go to him because they've heard the lie so long. At 22, I'm carrying my beautiful wife around because she can't walk. I don't know what to do. She don't know what to do. And her and God's having, they're working their thing out. And here I am, I'm carrying around. Father of three children. Needed to work, take care of her. And I don't know what to do. But that's where he met me. Carrying her from one place to the next. And him let me know it's going to be okay, so that I got this. I'm going to finish what I started. You're not alone. I'm not asking you to fix anything. I'm going to take care of it. And some of us, if we could just pause long enough in the pain, he's there. And he's waiting on us to acknowledge that he's there. He didn't cause the pain. We made the decision to leave him. And our choices have brought on lots of ugly. But he's been with us the whole time. And it's that pain that's going to bring us back into our true identity. I'm here to tell you today, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Your marriage is on the rocks. You don't have to be afraid. You're not going to fix it. He is. The moment you let him in, the moment you let him take charge, all of a sudden, you can't get enough of one another. Your business about to go busted? Ha! Huh. You don't have to be afraid. Your health is broken. Ah, you don't have to be afraid. He already knows the diagnosis. He's already got the plan. He's already paid the debt off. He's going to give you an experience where you can receive it. And you don't have to think real hard to get it. He wants you to come to him as a little child. He has all the resources. But as long as we're trying to calculate this thing and figure out how we're going to get it from Daddy, we push him away. Let's let him in. Is this okay? You don't have to be afraid. Could we stand?